Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Many countries learn democracy from Indonesia. Ministry of Environment and Forestry rehabilitates the affected areas of Sentani flash flood. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pali. Vice Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Hidayat Nur Wahid, said that Indonesia's success in implementing general elections becomes one of the reasons for other countries to learn democracy from Indonesia, such as Malaysia and Georgia. Seeing democracy in Indonesia, many countries interested to study democracy systems from Indonesia, for example, Malaysia, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. They not only come here, but we are sharing experiences with them. Parliament from Georgia, Central Asia also learned from us about Indonesia's democratic system recently. Hidayat Nur Wahid moreover added that democracy in Indonesia gains recognition from the international world. He said, with the success of democracy process, Indonesia can have stronger role in the international world in dealing with global issues such as peace, economy, humanity, settlement of turbulent conflict in the Middle East and Myanmar. Pancasila ideology also admired by many countries because based on Pancasila, Indonesia can maintain the unity of the state and nation. The Environment and Forestry through Directorate General of Watersheds and Protected Forest Management held a press conference related to flash flood that happened in Sentani, Papua recently. Met after the press conference on Tuesday at Manggala Wanabakti Building, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry Director General Watersheds and Protected Forest Management, IB Putra Pertama, explained that the ministry has mapped Papua areas that require rehabilitation.
Di sana sedikit areal yang perlu direhabilitasi. Nah, makanya tadi kami tunjukkan kan kondisi di hulu itu sebenarnya okay.
Only a few areas need to be rehabilitated. The condition in upstream area is relatively good, but its topographic condition causes a lot of landslides. As a result of landslides, then it becomes natural dams. When small earthquakes happen, the dams broke down. Then the flash flood occurred. We have already mapped all of Papuan areas. We also have conducted rehabilitation efforts through prevention of erosion by making dikes and rehabilitating in possible soil condition. Some of the open areas are savanna, which are certainly not possible to change into forests. Putra Pertama added 15,000 hectares of area that affected by flash flood is an area that is prone to flood and situated on the steep hill. Director General of Natural Resources Conservancy and Ecosystem, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Wiratno, said that the regional government needs to think about housing space area, especially when extreme rainfall phenomena in cyclone mountain mostly happened. The United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, held a dedication ceremony of the new U.S. Embassy in Jakarta on Tuesday by emphasizing that the U.S. and Indonesia would celebrate 70 years of diplomatic ties this year. Ambassador Donovan said that he was delighted to welcome invitees to the new U.S. Embassy building, and he has privileged to have the honor of dedicating their new home here in Jakarta, which houses both the U.S. mission to Indonesia and the U.S. mission to ASEAN. In his speech at the ceremony, which was circulated through the U.S. Embassy's official website, Ambassador Donovan said that the U.S. was one of the first countries to recognize Indonesia's independence, establishing the first embassy on December 28, 1949. The partnership between the United States and Indonesia is built on a foundation of shared democratic values and common interests such as education, sharing expertise, and innovating to create a brighter future. Despite the expected challenges facing the global economy this year, Indonesia and other ASEAN countries are well positioned to generate ongoing economic growth. Maybank Indonesia's President Director Taswin Jakaria said that ASEAN will see positive economic prospects, with opportunities expected to come from continuing resilience in the domestic market as supported by favorable demographics, continuing investment in infrastructure, and a healthy macro balance sheet thanks to lower and manageable leveraging. Taswin explained how the world was currently facing volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, known as the UCA world. He said global economic moderation, which had started in the second half of 2018, was showing signs of a continuing trend toward early 2019. However, the challenge that Indonesia is expected to face is the economic slowdown experienced by China. The trade war between the U.S. and China has reportedly led to Chinese economic slowdown. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. As of Tuesday, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani announced that 7.3 million taxpayers in Indonesia have reported their 2018 tax return, or SPT, pajak. Sri Mulyani, in a press conference at the Finance Minister's headquarters in central Jakarta on Tuesday, said that those who have filed their tax returns up to March 2019 reach more than 7 million people, which is a 15.32% growth. The ministry is eyeing on achieving its goal of 85% tax compliance, amounting to 15.5 million tax returns. However, this goal is lower than the minister's initial goal of 18.5 million tax returns. According to Sri Mulyani, tax return growth can be seen in personal returns, especially those who reported their tax reports via e-filing and e-forms. She also announced that the ministry showed 203,159 corporate tax returns. The tourism ministry has set a target of achieving an increase of between 20 to 30% in halal tourism, particularly from hotel and restaurant industry in 2019. Secretary to the Tourism Ministry's Deputy in Charge of Industry and Institutional Development, Riyut Mujiharahayu, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday. The ministry has established cooperation with various industry associations and universities to formulate the curriculum for halal tourism to be applied in the state higher education of tourism in Indonesia. Halal tourism holds bright business prospects, so the tourism ministry is currently developing several strategies for its development in Indonesia. The Bengkulu provincial government developed an export wing for agricultural commodity products such as processed wood and palm shells to China and Thailand, when releasing export commodities in the form of processed wood from rubber and palm kernel shells at Pulau Baai Port, the openness of connectivity through Baai Island Port and Fatmawati Airport would lead to an increase in local revenue from the superior commodity export site. The head of the Center for Compliance, Cooperation and Information of the Quarantine of the Agriculture Quarantine Agency, Sujarwanto, said that Bengkulu was historically listed as a region rich in quality spices because the Europeans had come to Bengkulu. Bengkulu's wealth as a center of spices such as pepper, nutmeg, and ginger must be maintained. Millennials must become the young farmers and exporters of the future. The horticultural potential in Bengkulu is also very abundant, and that neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Singapore desperately need fresh vegetables. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's commentary is titled Another Attack in Utrecht. The world is still shocked by the mass shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand, but the same incident took place again in Utrecht, the Netherlands, on March 18. The attack killed 3 people and left 9 others heavily injured. 3 of them are under critical condition. The perpetrator, who was a man of Turkish descent holding 2 passports, was arrested by police 8 hours after he committed his act at tram. Both perpetrators of the incidents in Utrecht and Christchurch used firearms to launch their acts. The incidents also caused casualties and left dozens of people wounded, but the former was committed at the public transportation while the latter was committed at praying houses. The high-ranking authorities in New Zealand stated that the act committed by Australian immigrant was a terror attack. Meanwhile, the Dutch authorities have not confirmed whether the tram attack was a terror attack or not. According to Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte, as quoted by BBC, there are still many questions and rumours regarding the incident. The motive of the tram attack has not been revealed. It has not been clear whether the attack was committed by terrorists or others. The case is still under investigation because there must be other motives behind the attack. Meanwhile, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said that Turkish National Intelligence Organization is currently investigating the case to make sure whether the case is triggered by family conflict or a real terror attack. According to one source quoted from the Telegraph, Gorgman Tanis, the perpetrator, has many criminal records in the Netherlands. Meanwhile, as quoted by BBC, the perpetrator had joined an armed group in Chechnya. Regardless of the question whether it was a terror attack or a mere criminal act, the world is facing a serious threat due to the uncontrolled arms circulation in the society. The access to obtain illegal firearms has been easier, both through illegal markets and online websites. One of the reasons people use firearms is that they need to protect themselves from unpredictable situations. Although a number of countries allow their citizens to have firearms with special requirements, the circulation of arms is inevitably dangerous. People need to be responsible and wise in using firearms. We can see that the misusing of firearms still happen in countries, even the ones which have applied strict requirements for the belonging of firearms, such as New Zealand, the Netherlands, and even the US. It should be worth noting for Asian, African, and Latin American countries to be more stricter in controlling the circulation of firearms to prevent the same cases. That was commentary.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with March 20, 1940. Sapardi Djoko Damono, a noted Indonesian poet, was born. Sapardi Djoko Damono was born in Surakarta on March 20, 1940. He is one of leading poets in Indonesia. He not only wrote poems but also short stories. His most well-known works are collection of poems titled Hujan Bulan Juni or Rain in June and Pengarang Telah Mati or Author Has Died. Sapardi Djoko Damono is also a professor in literature at the University of Indonesia. His works have been translated into many foreign languages, including Suddenly the Night, the poetry of Sapardi Djoko Damono, Black Magic Rain and Before Dawn. Sapardi has received numerous international awards, including the Sia Write Awards and Anugerah Puisi Putra from Malaysia. Over now to 1995, a sarin gas attack on the Tokyo subway kills 13 and wounds 1,300 people.
The Tokyo subway sarin attack, usually referred to in the Japanese media as the subway sarin incident, was an act of domestic terrorism perpetrated on March 20, 1995 in Tokyo, Japan, by members of the cult movement Aum Shinrikyo. In 5 coordinated attacks, the perpetrators released sarin on several lines of the Tokyo subway during the rush hour, killing 12 people, severely injuring 50, and causing temporary vision problems for nearly 1,000 others. The attack was directed against trains passing through Kasumigaseki and Nagatacho, home to the Japanese government. It is the most serious attack to occur in Japan since the end of World War II. Last is from 2013, the first International Day of Happiness is celebrated for. The International Day of Happiness, known as a Happiness Day, is celebrated throughout the world on the 20th of March. Founded on June 28, 2012, the International Day of Happiness resolution was the result of the effort of United Nations advisor Jamie Illion, who conceptualized the idea for a UN resolution that would recognize the pursuit of happiness as a human right and a fundamental human goal. Jamie Illion, founder of the International Day of Happiness and Illion Global Public Benefit Corporation, gained the support for the idea of the new International Day of Happiness from the President of the UN General Assembly and the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, as well as all 193 UN member states to draft and adopt a new UN resolution to create the new International Day, the International Day of Happiness. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Ku ingin cinta hadir untuk selamanya, bukan hanyalah untuk sementara, menyapa dan hilang, terbit tenggelam bagai pelangi. Yang indahnya hanya
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's topic for My Indonesia is titled Furniture and Craft Industry Gains Surplus Due to Export. Indonesian furniture and craft products successfully penetrate the global market. These products are perceived to have good quality and innovative designs. This was stated by Director General of Small Medium Enterprises at Indonesian Trade Ministry, Gati Wibawaningsih, in Jakarta on Sunday. Gati Wibawaningsih added that the development of this sector is supported by the availability of abundant natural resources, skillful human resources, as well as the uniqueness of local motives and cultures. Being the supplier of 80% of world's rattan material also contributes to developing the potential of Indonesian furniture export. With the main producers of rattan spread across Borneo, Sulawesi, and Sumatra Island. In addition to 313 kinds of rattan which can be utilized for the craft industry, Indonesia also has huge potential of woods. The Indonesian Ministry of Trade recorded a surplus of furniture trade balance in January 2019 with the export value worth $113.36 million. The export value increased 8.2% compared to the achievement in December 2018. Along 2018, the national export value reached up to $1.69 billion. Gati Wibawaningsih hoped that the Indonesian small and medium enterprises producing furniture and craft products will keep maintaining the quality of their raw materials and products. She also called on the enterprises to keep innovating. She added that using recent technology will support the competitiveness of their products in global market. This is in line with the implementation of the roadmap of Making Indonesia 4.0. Gati said that digitalization has been implemented in the participants' registration of Jogja International Furniture and Craft Fair 2019, or JIFINA, which took place in Yogyakarta from 13 to 16 March. Gati explained that JIFINA is the fourth biggest furniture expo in Asia. It shows that Indonesia's furniture market is able to attract international consumers. Therefore, Indonesian Trade Ministry, through Directorate General of Small Medium Enterprises, keeps facilitating local furniture enterprises to be able to showcase their admirable products at JIFINA, which is known to be an international furniture expo. The effort can stimulate the development of national furniture export and help the industry expand to the global market. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Kehabisan cara untuk jelaskan padamu mengapa sulit untuk lupakanmu. Aku kehabisan cara untuk gambarkan padamu kau di mata dan di pandanganku. Coba sehari saja,
coba satu hari saja, kau jadi diriku.
Kau akan mengerti,
kau akan mengerti bagai mana ku melihatmu. Mengerti
di mata dan di pandanganku. Seandainya satu hari bertukar jiwa, kau akan mengerti dan berhenti bertanya-tanya. Coba sehari saja,
coba satu hari saja, kau jadi diriku.
Kau akan mengerti,
kau akan mengerti bagaimana ku melihatmu.
Coba sehari saja,
coba satu hari saja, kau jadi diriku.
Kau akan mengerti,
kau akan mengerti bagaimana ku melihatmu, mengagumimu, menyayangi.
Dari sudut pandangku, oh, dari sudut pandangku, oh, dari sudut pandangku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today I would like to introduce you to Dua Island, which is located at Werbes District, Tambrau Regency, West Papua. Well, listener, for those of you who have not heard about this place, it is a historical heritage which brings another experience for tourists who come to the island. Dua Island was an important area during World War II, which occurred in 1940s. During the Pacific War, Irian Jaya or Papua Island was the area of battlefield between Japan and its allies. One of the islands which became battlefield is Dua Island. At that time, Dua Island became one of battle locations of soldiers and local residents were evacuated to Bika. Dua Island was left quite long by residents, so the island, including buildings which were left, was seriously damaged, including church, which was historically for the local people. To go to this island, tourists must ride speedboat from South Sapor Port for around 50 minutes. In addition to that, the tourists could also witness sunken ships and airplanes by diving. Meanwhile, to access to South Sapor Port, tourists can use airplane which operates on Tuesday until Friday from Manokwari. If tourists want to go to the island by transportation and to enjoy the Tambrau nature, they can also use car from Sorong or Manokwari. Challenging terrain and exotic natural scenery will make your 3-hour trip will be paid off by happiness. Listener, generally tourists who come to this island will be amazed by seeing the beautiful scenery. The sand, which is like crystal, will feel so smooth. Besides that, tourists can enjoy clear sea water which has gradation color of turquoise, dark blue, and light blue. There are also many kinds of colorful fish. Among of the fish, there is a fish called that has never been seen by people. On the fish body, there are green, blue, red, and yellow spots. The eastern region of Indonesia always presents amazing and calm scenery. A lot of tourists say that the beauty of Dua Island is almost the same as Raja Ampat, which has been well known in the world. Meanwhile, for Tambrao people, the island has important meaning because there is a monument at the church which signs the coming of missionary to West Papua in early 90s. Well, listener, that was our segment, Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for listening.
Setelah begitu lama tersisa air mata, banyaknya kenangan yang tak akan terlupakan, masa-masa yang indah, masa-masa kita bersama. Perasaan mendalam yang takkan pernah reda. Ku maafkan aku tak pernah mendengar. Maafkan aku tak pernah melihatmu pergi. Ku ingin kau di sini.
Coba melewatinya, lepaskan semua yang sudah berlalu. Tapi tanpa dirimu tak mungkin ku terus berlari tanpa kaki.
Terus berlari tanpa kaki.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Berapa tinggi candi ini? Or, how tall is the temple? Next is a conversation between Tony and tour guide about berapa tinggi candi ini, or in English, how tall is the temple? They are at Prambanan Temple area, and they are talking about Shiva Temple.
Candi ini tinggi sekali.
Ya, candi ini candi tertinggi di Indonesia.
Oh, berapa tinggi candi ini?
47 meter.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Candi ini tinggi sekali. Candi ini tinggi sekali. In English, the temple is very tall. Candi ini, candi tertinggi di Indonesia. Candi ini, candi tertinggi di Indonesia. Or, it is the tallest temple in Indonesia. Berapa tinggi candi ini? Berapa tinggi candi ini? Or, how tall is the temple? Meter, meter. In English, meter. 47 meter, 47 meter. Or, 47 meter. In the dialogue, Tony and the tour guide are talking about size. To ask about size, such as tall, wide, large, and long, you can use the word berapa. For example, if you want to know the tall of a temple, you can say berapa tinggi candi ini. Or in English, what tall is the temple? Another example, if you want to know the width of the temple, you can say berapa lebar candi ini. Berapa lebar candi ini. Or in English, what width is the temple? If you want to provide information about the tall of something, for example a temple, you can say tinggi candi ini 47 meter. Or the tall of the temple is 47 meters. Or another example, such as your height. The sentence is tinggi badan saya 2 meter. Or I am 2 meters tall. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Candi ini tinggi sekali.
Ya, candi ini candi tertinggi di Indonesia.
Oh, berapa tinggi candi ini?
47 meter.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition is helpful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
bagaikan kabut kelabu. Di sabana pencarianku, bagai embun pagi, kau lepaskan dahaga kemarau. Untuk senjaku, kaulah selaksa bunga yang warnai musim semiku. Di kala hati ini gundah, kau membuatnya menjadi cerah. Matahariku dan kaulah samudra, tempat hatiku bermuara. Kau jawaban dari doaku yang akhiri penantian. Bagai bintang jatuh, kau hadirkan harapan di dalam hati. Kaulah deburan ombak yang pecahkan batu karangku. Kaulah gugusan yang hiasi malam gelapku. Di kala hati ini gundah, kau membuatnya menjadi cerah. Kaulah matahariku dan kaulah samudra, tempat hatiku bermuara. Tempat hatiku bermuara.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. For today's edition, I present a song from Riau Islands titled Segantang Lada. The lyric of Segantang Lada consists of poem. The first two lines mention the Riau Islands, which is analogized as a parcel of paper because it has more than 2,000 islands such as paper grains in a parcel. It also describes about the capital of Riau Islands province, Tanjung Pinang, which is located in Bintan Island. Meanwhile, the last two lines tell about the anxiety and hesitation of someone who are missing their lovers. Listener, many people of Riau Islands are familiar with the song Segantang Lada, not only because it's simple lyric, but the song is also widely introduced to children by families, even in elementary schools in the region. Are you curious with the song? Let's enjoy it to Segantang Lada, sung by Lala Suages. Happy listening!
Thank you. segantang lada namanya Kepulauan Riau. Segantang lada namanya Kepulauan Riau. Ibu kotanya di Pulau Bintang. Ibu kotanya di Pulau Bintang. Segantang lada namanya Kepulauan Riau. Segantang lada namanya Kepulauan Riau. Ibu kotanya
of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.